Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You've mashed this intro up, but it's no problem. Real football is back, people. Crowds, Liverpool, centre-backs, it's all systems go. Welcome to Carnage. You know it's carnage, innit? When the first intro, the first scene, right? We can't get that together. Now, listen, at the end of the day, we're all here. We're all well. But I'm going to introduce Matt first. Matt's not too well, man. Everyone knows Matt from Coppish. Shout out to Matt. Listen, it's been a while trying to get you on, but...
I know, bro.
I know you're suffering a little bit, but listen...
Listen, man. I had to, bro. Come on now. And obviously, because of last week, the people that know, I was like, there's no way I can miss it again. Do you know what I mean? Even though I sound mashed up and my voice might go a bit in and out, I don't care. We're Reds. We're talking Liverpool. We move, bro.
I tell you, and you sound, listen, I'm not going to lie, you sound like quite sexy to me, but listen. I'm just gonna say. And of course, the mighty Mojo himself. What are you saying, Mo Stewart, brother?
Hey, good to see you all, guys. I'm looking forward to a big old chat. Last time I was here, it was lots of fun. So I'm expecting nothing less. Although I have to ask you, have you secured the mic to the table this time?
Listen. There's no security on this program. There is nothing set in stone. There's no security. There's no, insurance, man. You just go with the flow here. And talking about going with the flow, the man who was supposed to set this intro up, everything, I talked him through it. And oh my God, you still managed to mash it up. But listen, I still love you. My hostess, my co-hostess with the mostest. What are you saying, Abby from California?
Good, good. That's pressure. When you got Mo and Matt on the same night, that's pressure. So I'm sorry I buckled there. But no, great to be on, Grizz. Great to be on. And I think Matt needs something stronger than the cup of tea or the lemon tea that he's drinking. He needs a bit of brandy or something, man. But hey, later on.
Definitely.
But listen, do you know what it is? It's the perfect time to sort of... I can see why Matt fall ill because the excitement sometimes takes you over. And guys, I'm not even going to lie to you, right? Listen, we're all content creators here, yeah? And we've had some hard couple of months trying to create content during the Euros. And then we tried to hype up the friendlies. You know how we do. We have to, right? We thought football's back. But this is the real thing, people. Like, we're back to normality. And normality, the last time it was normality for us was, correct me if I'm wrong, people, we beat Sheffield United at home, was it? The last game at home with Pat Crystal Anfield? Palace. Crystal Palace, I think.
Yeah, for real.
Was it Crystal Palace? The Pat Fitness Anfield?
Palace. Yeah.
Palace, yeah.
Pat Anfield. We won the league, right, and everything.
Yeah.
Now, it's finally back. And it's mad because we're like, it's literally, I don't know about you lot, but I'm sure I know about you lot, but I'm going to speak about myself first. I'm buzzing like anything. Oh, people are saying it's Bournemouth. So all you men are wrong. People are saying it's Bournemouth.
Yeah, so I'm
wrong. You men are wrong. Every man wrong. But listen, it was Bournemouth. But the point of the matter is, it's back. Fair play. And I feel so, so hyped. I don't know how you guys feel going into the, what, literally 48 hours away now? Yeah, 48 hours.
Around that. I'm gassed, you know.
Matt, tell us how you feel, because I know how you feel in terms of health, but tell us how you feel.
for real. Nah, do you know what? I'm gassed. I'm happy because it's been a long time, and even though football's been played in the last, 18 months or whatnot, it hasn't been the same, bro. We know that when there's no fans, we make up the football. Like, that atmosphere, you can't replicate it. You just can't. And you're not only that, I'm so happy to see my team play again, bro. Because do you want to know something? We didn't have the best of seasons last year. We had the injuries, and people want to say it's excuses. No, it's actually a valid reason. But anyway, we don't care about that anymore. We move on. And do you want to know something? People that are writing us off already, I can see people in the comments have spoken about another show, saying, Liverpool ain't going to do that well. All I'm going to say is, watch out. Revenge tour is here. Revenge season is happening.
It's not, you know what? And I know you mentioned the word revenge. And Mo, do you see that angle from the players motivation-wise, from the coaches-wise, the fans-wise, everything? You see a sense of like what happened to us last season was almost, injustice. We need to put a lot of wrongs right this season. Do you sense that in preseason, like from the videos? Like, we know we all watch Inside Anfield like again and again and again. Like any, you know, like sort of idea into the body language, in terms of the mentality. Do you sense that, Mo?
I do sense that, but to be honest, I really didn't sense it ever went away. I feel like there was times where there was a bit of frustration. It was kind of getting to them that things weren't going their way, because yes, the mistakes were made, but a lot of them were precipitated by things beyond their control, i.e. the injuries, the tinkering with the team, etc., etc. And so the die of last season has been cast, and we need to kind of draw a line under it to a certain extent. But the reality is, they were still very good for a lot of last season. Like, I saw a table earlier today, which I hadn't seen for a while, after the Palace game, 14 games into the season. That's a good way into the season. We were top by 4 points. So when you think about that and you add it to the way we finished the season, 26 out of 30 points, I know short-termism is a problem in football generally, but to see so many people think that that team has just disappeared, maybe it's a little bit of wishful thinking on some of their parts, to be honest, but in some ways it's good. In some ways it's good that no one's talking about us, because that means that we can go out there, do our stuff, and make them start talking about
us. Look, I'm gonna be honest. I'm one of these guys that I don't really give a shit what other people are saying about us. I don't. I honestly don't. Because, you know, because we know our club. We know our players. We know our coach. We know the journey that we've been on for the 3-4 seasons. So, for example, right, I saw a brilliant tweet. Forgive me who done this brilliant tweet. I can't remember the name of the person, right? I literally saw it about an hour ago. And the person said, 18 months ago, just 18 months ago, not years ago, right? 18 months ago, we had the most feared team in Europe. Like one of those where we had sort of, how many games unbeaten was it? Heavy at home or overall,
through the 60s, isn't it?
46,
47.
46, like how many games in a row we'd won?
Yeah.
Whatnot.
Yeah. 15 in a row.
Are we saying that same team squad, only minus Gini, plus Konate, plus Jota, plus Thiago, so already, are we saying that crew, them people, are that writ off? Are we saying that writ off? Look, Dan Bailey says, people see the predictions from the journalists? A4, list long, and none of them had us above fourth. Did you see that, Avi?
We like that, though, Grizz. We like that. We want to be written off. We want to be the sort of that tag that people like sort of like to use, underdogs. I like Matt said it brilliantly. It's the comeback tour, the comeback season, retribution. I think there is a bit of anger in this team because of the way sort of the media sort of writ us off last season, you know, finishing third, sort of said that we were complaining of injuries, excuses. But I think this season, and I think from game one, which we'll come along to with the Norwich game preview, I think Grizz will be ready from game one, literally. I think you can see from the training sessions, I think they released another video today earlier on. They're getting sharper and sharper, and just bring on Saturday, 5:30.
Matt, what out of all the things that are sort of inspiring you to think that we will be back and we will 100% terrorize a lot of teams.
Yeah.
There's the comeback of the centre backs. There's the resurgent, or you can say fresh Thiago knows he's got some serious centre backs behind him and he can concentrate what he does best and play ball. And then you've got the well rested Sadio and Mo. Which one excites you the most?
Excites me the most is probably seeing Van Dijk get back to his best. I think, and I said it, a couple of streams ago, Virgil van Dijk, we probably won't see the best of him, in my opinion, till like maybe like November time. It's going to take a bit of time for him to get back to how he was, right? Massive injury. And Kyle said it earlier on today when we were speaking, and he was like, remember the injury that he had at Southampton, the ankle injury?
Yeah.
It took him a while to get back in it and to get back into rhythm. And I think when we played them, he was still a little bit out of it.
He was awful that game, Matt. We beat him 3-0 at Anfield,
Yeah, so I kind of expecting, not necessarily as bad as that, but he's just going to be rusty. We just got to stick with him. But I'll tell you something from now. If anyone's trying to write him off and say he's done because he has like 3-4 games where you're a bit like, oh, what's Van Dijk doing? You're going to be mistaken, because I'm telling you from now, and I think every Liverpool fan knows this, come December, November time, when he's back, it's that whole, that aura's back, Van Dijk is back, that impervious centre-back that we all love will be back. And I think, for me, that will give the team a massive, massive lift, more so than anything.
Not only the team, Mo, it's the fans, isn't it? We completely have a different feeling going into games, and we're going to come on to what we think the lineup's going to be, whatever, and the couple of decisions that Klopp has to make, what we think Klopp may have to make. Is the returning Virgil van Dijk and obviously Gomez as well the biggest excitement for you, or is it the resurgence of a rested, fully refreshed Klopp? There's a few things. The fans.
Yeah. I mean, all of them definitely register as things and make it one big exciting hole. I think the thing with Virgil is that he was the first piece to go wrong, wasn't it? It was the linchpin that went down, and that was the domino effect that saw lots of other things. So mentally, I think as fans, we're thinking once we put that piece back, we get back to the beginning. And almost a little bit like it's Jumanji or something, but it's not quite that simple. I wish it was that simple. But hey, unfortunately. And you're bang on to say that there is going to be rust. And you know the way that Virgil has been treated, like us, like some talismanic god. There are going to be lots of people who are trying to drag him down. We saw what it was like when the friendly, when someone scored against him. Like, imagine that being Lukaku against Chelsea, and imagine that's a game that Liverpool don't win. That video is going to be going around until...
Oh, yeah.
And you're right, Matt. We do have to be strong. And I think that it's one of those things whereby, as a fan base, we can choose not to let that noise get to us.
Agreed.
And hopefully, the best way to do that will be the fact that the team will still be getting results. But if you ask me what I'm most excited about seeing, I think it's still Diogo Jota.
Wow, okay.
I really do. I think that...
I hear that, though.
He was doing Salah first season numbers before this.
Oh, yeah.
And we've already seen the fact that that little bit of sharpness that was missing to when he first came back towards the end of the season, that looked like it had returned when I saw him so far in pre-season. And he's going to know that there's an opportunity there for him to cement his place in the side. Obviously, lots of people are writing off Bobby. Again, do that at your peril. I think him having less starts might actually work out better for him over the course of the season. But I think Jota realizes all of this talk about the front three, they're all going to age together. They need to do something. They need to buy this person. They need to buy that person. The best way to stop that noise is to go out there and say, hey, you've got me and I'm right here. And I think that he's prime and ready to do that.
Do you know what, Mo? You're spot on because you know, as much as we think that these players don't read media and don't know what's being said about them, you know, Avi, so we talked about motivation and we could go through the squad that each player or different players have got their own story in terms of comeback. Yeah. So I'm trying to find that opinion where, a message here where someone's talked about Trent. So we've forgotten about Trent, right? So he's been kind of messed about with Southgate this summer, picked, then not selected, then told he's going to be gone, then he's not gone. And then he fucking picks up an injury, right? You got story of Jota, as Mo says, started off like a house on fire. Like he was ripping up teams, like coming off the bench, starting everything, right? And then you got the Mane and Salah's cold, isn't he? He's just our gunman.
He's always got fire in his belly.
Always. But the comeback of Mane, and dare I say it, fringe players like Taki, Ox, I'm going to say fringe player, don't hurt me, Matt, Naby. What? Like, there's so many stories to be, like, told this summer, like, comeback stories, isn't it? Which one are you looking forward to, Avi?
You know, I'm going to side with Matt here because I do like Naby a lot ever since he's joined us. And
no, we all like Naby. Like, why are you saying that it's only you and Matt like Naby? Like, we all like Naby.
Well, you've given him a bit of grief before on your Twitter handle and whatnot. Mo, sorry.
You said it before. Grief's not the right word, but we move.
Okay, so, I'm hoping for Naby. Look, if it's true that what's gone around, that he's on a plant-based diet, Grizz, which seems to be helping his recovery, which seems to make him more fitter and stronger, then, look, there must be some science behind the madness. And, you know, method to the madness, shall I say, rather. So I'm looking forward to him. I think he will start on Saturday. And I really hope. And look, everyone's got their little story. Everyone, you can talk about Trent. Simakas has got a point to prove. Jota, because he wants to be a regular starter now. He will have a point to prove. Bobby will have a point to prove with all the critics that are saying that he's finished.
Bobby seems like he's got a point to prove every kind of
season. Yeah, it's just the way he plays. It's just the way the media sort of says he doesn't score enough goals. You know, there's Ox, who looks fitter, who looks sharper, who looks a little bit more leaner, who looks quicker. And then you got Jordan Henderson. I think that's a big story there that, you know, there's not been any update from the contract situation. I think him sort of knowing, you know, doesn't know where he stands, I think this will be give him a big kick up the backside. And I think we will expect some serious, serious sort of, you know, reliability from him this season in terms of numbers too. But I think Naby of all, I think if he can shine this season, Chris, and if he can give us 30 out of 38 games, wishful thinking, I know, but if he can, then you've got...
What kind of thing is that to ask for? 30 out of 38?
Listen,
like, you didn't even ask for 50%. No.
I'm letting him off a game a month. I'm letting him off.
Look, 30 out of 38 and we're all acting like it's winning the lottery.
Exactly.
No, but we can't say like 38. You know, we've got easy.
I should lower the expectations. No, but I'm serious.
Lower the expectation, look, brother, man. I'm not looking 30 out of 38. I'm looking 20.
Touch wood, say your Hail Marys, but if he can stay fit, right? I'm telling you, if he can stay fit, then we've got a serious, serious player on our hands and we've got a very good season coming up ahead. Because you can tell that Klopp, you can just tell that Klopp idolizes him, right? Yeah. He's literally waiting on the guy a year, came back, he told Naby to learn English. He came back, he still didn't know a word of English, right? But he stuck out with him, he's been patient with him. So, no, for me, it's Naby Keita. Like, he needs to stay fit for me.
All right, Avi.
What I was going to say, as opposed to trying to go for 30 out of 38, because a season's long, what I would love to see from him is 10 in a row at some point. True. 10 in a row, 10 starts in a row. Get your rhythm going. Get up to full speed. Get us to really see what you can do in this team. Because if he has any injuries at that point, he's at least got more credit. He's got more confidence. Yeah. not only in himself, but in everybody else. And from everybody else, it's like, okay, all right, he's shown us. Then hopefully, he'll start. I mean, obviously, I'd like 10 in a row to turn into 15, 20.
Whisper it quietly.
Do you think that
he just
that run of consecutive games is going to be...
I hear that.
He just beat his personal best on Sunday, so he did play 4 games in a row. So, look, it can only go higher from here, man. It can only go higher from here.
And not only that, he didn't get injured while I was in transport either. So, like, getting off a bus, on a plane, like...
Matt, hold that thought. Hold that thought. There's international duty. I think he's getting called up for Guinea soon.
Oh, no.
See, second week of September, I think. Yeah. So, just be careful what we wish for, yeah?
Matt, listen, Matt, everyone knows, right? Matt and Naby Ting's, right? I know you've been analysing him very carefully throughout the preseason. I know you must have kept eyes on him and just looking for pointers towards how he's going to be and how he's playing in terms of the role, the energy, the pressing. Is anything different? How are you feeling going into Naby season 4? Is it, guys? Is it
Naby full season?
Talk to me, B. Are you ready? Like, have you been real? First of all, I don't think you gave up on him ever, right?
No.
But are you ready? Are you real back in? Like, this is his season. There's no.
Grizz. Before you continue, Grizz, don't be too complimentary. I've been an avid watcher of Codfish, okay? And Matt, at points of last season, said, "Listen, guys."
Yeah, go on.
I might have to put my hands up and say, look, if he has to go, he has to go. Come on, mate. You know,
when
you
and Griffey used to have that. I think we all done that.
He knows I own that one.
How are you feeling now, though?
But you know what it is? All right, so every new season you get excited. You see the preseason, you think, okay, surely it's going to be the year. What I will say is this. This is fourth season. This is the year where he either does it or he doesn't, and he gets sold, even because of the contract, right? Because if I'm not mistaken, I think he's got 2 years left.
Yeah.
This is the last chance saloon, in my opinion, for Naby Keita. And I think, not just from me, I think he's from Liverpool as well. I know Klopp loves him and rates him highly, but I think even Klopp would be like, I've given you 4 years. That's more than probably what a lot of people get, really. Some people get 1 year, some people get 2 years, and they're out the door. This is his fourth year. He has to do it. Pre-season, he has looked immense. Even from a defensive point of view, he's pressing. He's a smart presser. He knows how and when to win the ball back. The attacking, the passing, he's got it all. He's a ball carrier. He will add a new dimension if he stays fit. But again, it has to be, as Mo was saying, it's got to be 5-6 games in a row. Okay, a little bit of rotation. Then you're back on your bike again. It can't be 3 games in, he's out for 2 months, and then we don't see him again until November, sort of thing. Like, it's got to be now, lads. It has to be.
Mo, I'm going to let you take this super chat. Thank you, Michael, for the super chat. Hi, guys. Can you explain the situation with homegrown quota? If we sell Shaq, do we need to sell Origi as well to bring in 2 players if Phillips goes? But I think he wants a bit of clarification on the situation with homegrown quota.
Basically, not necessarily. It depends. If one of the 2 players coming in would also be of the homegrown quota, so either someone who is English, was in an English youth system, I think it's from the under the age of 18, or is under the age of 21, I believe they wouldn't. So there are some of the people, like, for example, I believe Jeremy Doku falls in the final category. So I believe... I am potentially wrong here, but I do believe this is true, that he wouldn't count against the homegrown quota. So, again, it really does depend upon who we are looking at. But my gut feeling says that the decision has been made, that the time is up for both of them. And whether it means that we have to take a loss, or whether it means that it may be even someone ends up going on loan, I think that they're not going to be in the squad come the start of September.
Have you got anything to add to that in terms of the homegrown quota? I know you're well read up on these kind of things, like offline, like put it online, innit?
I think if Shaq goes, then We'll bring one in. With Origi, I think it's difficult because he's on such...
I mean, in terms of homegrown quota, first, like, give us your thoughts on that. Like, is that the situation, like, Michael's asking, like...
So if Phillips goes, then we've got Davis, and then we've also got... Look, I'm not saying that... I'm not advocating him to stay, but we've got Benjamin Woodburn, who would qualify for the homegrown quota because he's above, 22 now. So that comes into play. So you have to be careful. But if Phillips goes, and then if we're looking for a loan deal for Davis, so you'd imagine we'd have to bring in a British player. So and then Woodburn as well. It gets confusing because there's players that, you know, obviously you've got your tier players like Milner, your Trents, your Oxes, your Hendos, and then you go back to the players like Woodburn, and then you've got obviously Phillips and Davis. So you've got to make a decision. But I would think that if you're getting rid of two players of if you're getting rid of Davis and maybe like a Phillips, then you do bring an Englishman in. I think you do, or a British player in.
I think this brother, Mohamed Tamiz Abdul Sattar, is talking about... I don't think he's a Liverpool fan. I think he's talking about from another stream where I talk about the big dogs are back for Liverpool. And I was speaking to a couple of Chelsea, Man United, Spurs and Man City fans, and they were like...
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You lot too... because they were like totally dismissive of the influence that these centre-backs, namely Virgil van Dijk, has. And I wasn't referring to just... When I talk about the big dogs... I'm not talking about just Virgil. I'm talking about Mane, because Mane is coming back strong this year. Like, I'm one of those guys that, and I openly say it, and I openly said it. We done a couple of shows during the summer where I said, look, me personally, if Mane guaranteed, and this is where people got it twisted, I said, if Mane guaranteed an Mbappe, then I would sell Mane. And that's where people went, oh, you're writing off Mane. No, I wasn't writing off Mane. I just said, with age, with everything taken into consideration, if that was the case, then, you know, I would have sacrificed, maybe is a better word, Sadio Mane. But that's not the case. Mane is still king. And I think he's one of those players that's going to come back real, real hard. So it just so happens, we talked about the comeback of the season and the fans and everything. And I believe Norwich was the first game. Norwich was the first team we played when we won the league, right?
Yeah, in 2019, I think.
So, and Norwich, now this is going to test some of you lot, because I know I haven't been keeping an eye on Norwich since, right? So we don't know what situation they're in. But Mo, is this game away from home, 5:30 kickoff? It's going to be some mad atmosphere, I'm thinking. Delia is still there at Norwich, going to be rallying the crowd, right? We might get a rendition from her. Are Norwich the... How do you feel about going to play Norwich away? Or would you have preferred a home fixture?
I always prefer a home fixture. I do think that particularly the first day of the season, Anfield is still very much a daunting place for opposing teams to come, especially with the fans back for the first time in a while. But Norwich, I mean, Delia will be there. She probably won't be handing out sausage rolls.
It's like a new signing, right?
But she's been doing some signings. They actually bought a fella from Greece. I can't remember.
Christos Zolis.
Zolis, that's it. Who's actually, according to some of the people who I respect who've been watching Greek football, they think he's going to be okay. But Norwich haven't exactly had a perfect preseason. They got beat in their last preseason game by Newcastle quite easily. I think it was 3-0.
3-0, yeah.
Players had to quarantine through COVID. I think Pukki's back, but Grant Hanley's still out. Arnold Hernandez is still out. Cantwell's just recovering from an ankle injury. Buendia, as we know, has been sold. So you look at it from a kind of a neutral perspective and say, Norwich are probably not going to be at their strongest that they will be for the season on day one, which is good because it means that we should be able to go there put on a good performance. Maybe not even necessarily put on a good performance, but still be good enough to get the 3 points. And that's really all that matters. On day one, first game, first win, that means everybody can take a big, deep breath and go, okay, we've arrived, the season's here, we're in it.
I just want to address this, Michael, for thank you for the super chat. Phillips has done more for Liverpool, yet he's getting the exit, I think he means, overrated Oxenabi. I think Phillips has got his flowers, man. I don't think no one, especially on this channel, no one's ever said Phillips, you know, and not praised Phillips and sort of appreciated the monumental, the absolute heroic job he done for us this season. Like, there's no other way of describing it, Mo. You've got to say it's like heroic. Yeah. Like, he was the hero. Sorry, I'm going to come to Matt. Sorry.
The hero
we wanted. Like, that's the best way to describe it, right? At a time where we had nothing.
Yeah.
We literally had nothing, guys. And then we see this guy come up from the depths of sort of being sold on the last day. You know, like, teams were offering him 1.5 million and we were ready to accept. He comes and he steps into Virgil van Dijk's and Joe Gomez's and Matip's place and pulls us through. Like, is it unfair the way he's being treated? Or, because from my point of view, it's his choice. I think he's being shown respect from Jurgen Klopp and Liverpool to say, look, it's totally down to you, brother. If you want to stay, we're more than happy. We're not flogging you, but you deserve to be the sort of the holder of your own destiny.
No, I fully agree. I think when it comes to Phillips, he's been amazing since he came in at the back end of last season. When we had that crisis, we didn't know how good he was really. As you said, he was on the verge of being sold, didn't have a Liverpool future at all at that point. And he was an absolute beast. And he was one of the main reasons why we were able to get full spot. However, though, in football, as we know, guys, football is very ruthless. And as good as he has been, and we will always appreciate him, just like how we will always appreciate Divock Origi being a cult hero, you have to understand something, that there are four centre-backs that are better than him. And what the club is saying, listen, we know you've got that, you've had that taste now, first-team football, and you probably want to play, you want to play every game now, so we're not going to stand in your way. However, if you do want to be fifth choice, you can be. But I think Phillips is too good, in my opinion, to be fifth choice. He deserves, in my opinion, at least a play for another team where he can be at least like first or second choice. Do you know what I mean? I think he showed the talent at his disposal where he can play for a Brighton. Like, he can play for those, like, you know what I mean, slightly lower tier teams. So I think it's a case of we're being respectful and he's been respectful to us, man.
Avi,
sorry, I was going to say, I 100% agree with that. I think that because he's not come out and said anything, it's easy to assume one way or the other. But I do think the reality is that he knew what he was up against when he saw the other centre-halves of the club. And he knew that this was a window for him to prove himself. And I also think something else which was crucial around the time, because when he first came into the team, he didn't do very well. And there was a game, I think it was, it Newcastle away? There was one game where he struggled really bad.
Callum Wilson. Yeah, he was dreadful as well.
We all remember that. And what that was the period where Liverpool was still trying to play the same way without the players to play the same way. And what happened is that Klopp and his guys got together, and Trent talks about it in the interview he did with Simon Hughes literally a couple of days ago. They got together and said, look, this is what we got. We can't feel sorry for ourselves anymore. No one's going to feel sorry for us. No one's going to help us. This is what we've got, these guys. So Klopp was like, right, rather than trying to find a way to play our football, we're going to play the football that works with the guys we've got in front of us. So he put Phillips and Kabak together and say, look, you go and head it. You clear up because you're quick. And we build from there. And that was what built us back up. And they ended up with this fantastic run. So Phillips has been in football long enough. He knows the fact that the only reason he excelled in that Liverpool team, because they weren't playing the way Liverpool normally play. So when it comes to this season and Liverpool go back to the way we normally play, it makes more sense for him to move on. And yet he's shown other managers who don't play the way Liverpool play that he can perform and excel in the Premier League. So this is the perfect time for him to move aside. I think someone like Southampton, who've literally just sold Yannick Vestergaard to Leicester.
Nearly done.
Brilliant there.
Well, we're gonna come on to transfers in a little while, but I think just to sort of slightly bring that into perspective now, Sam, I wanted Avi you to cover this because Sam makes a very good point here. The money we make on Phillips can make up for a few million we could miss out on Shaq and Origi, etc. We was not expecting Phillips to have this high value. Now, fair play to him, whatever happens. And he makes a brilliant point there, because the money that we were expecting to get from Shaq and Origi doesn't seem to be forthcoming, but yet we have potentially Phillips here, who was, as I said, on the verge of going for 1.5, looking at 12 million, 10 to 12 million now. So, and it kind of, he's got a very good point there, right?
He has, but like, you just sort of want, and not in a disrespectful way to Nat, you just want it to get over the line, whether you get 12, 13 or 15 million. Like, I'm sure the lad will be feeling as well that I can play at a higher level. I don't have to be fifth choice or fourth choice at Liverpool. I can go and become someone's first choice, like the Southampton. And Southampton under Ralph Hasenhüttl, you know, they play good football. I know their team's a little bit been decimated because of the transfers of Ings and whatnot, like Bertrand as well, who's left in Vestergaard. So they absolutely need a new sort of defence to come in. But he could do a great job there, or even Newcastle. Not relegation teams, but mid-table teams, you know, Southampton, Newcastle, you know, That would be a great move for him. And even Brighton, like, you know, the lad can play football, and he proved in the last sort of 12 to 15 games of the season that he's a good, good defender. You know, and he scored some goals. He scored the back heel for, no, he set up Jota for the United goal. Got the header against Burnley away at Turf Moor in that crucial stage.
Oh, so that was a brilliant little assist for Jota. Remember against Man United?
It was a scuffed shot, but we'll give him the assist. Don't worry.
Well, listen, Norwich, last season we used to ask, like, I used to ring Mo and see if he's ready to play centre back. You know what I mean? That's the situation we were at. Well, I'd WhatsApp Matt, like, what are you saying, bro? Like, shall I put your name forward to Klopp, man? Like, centre back, yeah, like, you could do a job, but we're in a total different place. First game of the season, first season. Everyone seems to be back. Touch wood. Everyone's healthy. You know. Mo, he's got some decisions to make, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think we're all assuming Tsimikas, that's just quite a simple one. Tsimikas comes in straight for Robbo. I want your opinion on the centre-back situation and what you do and what you think Klopp will do.
Well, fans of mine will have noticed that I put out an article on this very subject on Liverpool.com. Go and read it now. But to be honest with you, my ideas have changed slightly even since then. And I literally put that out yesterday.
Oh, God, already?
Well, I think it's more just more information has come out. Klopp has come out again and he said that Gomez and Van Dijk are available to start. Now, that doesn't tell me necessarily that they're going to start, but it does tell me that they're going to be starting sooner rather than later. Point. And that's an interesting point for me, because the thing with Tsimikas, like we were saying, obviously he's been playing well in preseason. He looks like he's ready to give of his best. He's still learning in terms of how game time decisions, when you can go forward, when you can't go forward, and all those kind of things. So having the someone like Virgil who knows it, as opposed to someone like Konate who's learning it as well, you can see maybe that comes into his thinking. But you've obviously got Matip there, but then I always wonder with Matip, is he the guy directing traffic? Like, I've seen Joe Gomez do it. Obviously, we know Virgil can do it. I don't think I've ever seen, and that's not to say he's not done it. I've maybe just not been paying attention. Maybe I'm just kind of overstepping because of his personality. But I would say that that's maybe a consideration for Klopp. Because, again, first day of the season, you need your concentration to be on point. We are going to be away. There is going to be a vociferous home crowd. If we give them an early mistake, it could be a long kind of afternoon. We want to avoid that as much as possible. But if they're all fit and they're all really fit, then I would be tempted to play Virgil for the simple reason, if he's going to have rusty games, I want them against Norwich and Burnley, not Chelsea.
It's a great point.
Okay.
Great point.
Matt, what are you doing? Talk to me. What are you doing?
I was speaking about what earlier thinking? On. I was thinking this year. All right. So even though Klopp says him and Virgil and Gomez are available, I still feel like you don't rush them back. Not yet. I feel like because Konate and Matip have played so well in pre-season, why not see if you can start up that partnership against a team like Norwich, where I know what you're saying, Mo, about communication, that is key. But I also feel like you've got to throw in, to a degree, your new centre-back in at the deep end to see if he's good enough at the same time. True. And I do think as well, we've seen a couple of pre-season games where he started Matip and Ibu together. I think it was the first like two or three games, and I was thinking to myself, do you know what? He's trying to show us this could be the partnership. And even when you look to the midfield, it was always that kind of trio of like Milner, Naby and Elliot. And I said, you know what? I think it might be Matip and Ibu to start, you know, because I think, again, Virgil might be ready, as you said, but he's a little bit rusty. And I do understand the point, though. It's like if you went into have a bad game, let it be against Norwich, or hopefully that mistake isn't as bad as in like a massive game where it can cost you massively. So, but for me personally, I will go Ibu and Matip personally.
Interesting. Avi?
I'm with Mo. I think during preseason, he's been a little bit rusty. That's understandable. Of course, it's understandable. But you just know when it comes to crunch time, when it comes to game one, he's got that Michael Jordan aura about him. He turns up when it matters. I think against Norwich at Carrow Road, he'll want to play. I think this week is crucial. Recovery week, doing the sessions. Any reaction to any soreness around the knee area, I think he will start, Grizz. I think it will be Van Dijk and Joel Matip.
I think it's a banker, lads. I honestly do. I think Virgil and Matip, because I've said it before, 80%, 75% Virgil is better than every centre-back, in my opinion, in the Premier League. That's how much this big dog is worth to us. Because he is the big dog. I'm telling you. No, honestly, people have forgotten.
Nah, he is. They have.
No, Matt, people have forgotten. Fans have forgotten.
Our own fans were so concerned when he slipped. And I'm thinking to myself, bruv, he slipped. And it's a preseason game.
Yeah.
Like, bruv, he slipped, you know. All I was thinking about was,
he slipped.
As long as he's not injured, I don't really care. I don't even care if he slips again. Like, as long as you don't get injured, bruv.
He exists in such a strange world, though, because like we forget, people used to celebrate when someone almost ran past him.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Pepe, wasn't it, who did it for Arsenal? Then
throwing down videos and trying to
£60 million that they paid on. Yeah.
And that was like years, plural.
I think. So, do you know what? Do you know what? I think the biggest, I was 50-50 at the start. A couple of weeks ago, I was 50-50, right? Like majority of us were, we were undecided. But I think what's totally tipped it in Virgil's favour, guys, in my opinion, is the injury to Robertson.
Okay.
Because what happens now is I don't think he will risk Tsimikas and Konate on that left side of the defence, total two new guys. He will favour with Virgil because of that. Security blanket. And plus, as Mo says, Virgil is the leader, he's the orchestrator. He's the, you know, guys, I was just like, do you remember that scene in a Nutty Professor when he's Hercules? Why are you laughing? I'm serious. I was like that.
This is poor acting. I'm laughing at your poor acting. I'm not laughing at anything else.
I was like, you're not gonna laugh, yeah? It was not when he done a tackle or anything, right?
Yeah,
it was when the opposition had a corner and Virgil was standing in the middle of the penny box and he's like, focus in. Like that was a good one, right? Yeah. He was like, focus in. And everyone just, I focused. I was like, I dropped my baby. I was focused, bro. I was like, this man has that aura.
And it
I was
does.
Like, I was so excited. I was like, yeah, he's back. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm telling all my mates, like, you don't know how back
nah,
we are.
That's true, bruv. I was going to say, like, with Van Dijk as well, do you know how badly he's like messed around with other teams in terms of like how they see their defenders? So obviously Ruben Diaz is a very, very good defender. There's no denying that. But bruv, Ruben Dias has one good season. Ah, he's better than Van Dijk. He's better than Van Dijk. When Man United fans bought Maguire, they were like, he's better than Van Dijk. It's like, bro, you worry about your defenders. We've got ours. The fact that you keep talking about him says to me you're worried and you're scared about him because you know he's the one defender in world football that can pocket any player in world football. He can pocket any player.
100%.
On his day, he can pocket any player.
Do you know what? So, Zachary makes a good point here, right? Yes. He says, Chris, I think what you're saying, VVD, is starting to protect Simicas means Milner will start to put that side defensively. Avi, is that necessarily true, do you think? Because let's say, I think we've decided between us and we'll get the message across to Klopp that Virgil needs to start, right? So we've decided Virgil and Matip will
send the facts through.
Yeah, I'll send the facts through. But what happens in midfield then, in your opinion?
You know, surprisingly, Fab's always been a late sort of star when it comes to like early sort of season form, but he looks ready. So I think he'll start. Naby's got to start. Yes. If he's fit, he's got to start. He's had a good preseason, sharper, fitter. The right side is what sort of worries me. I mean, I'm not being bad. And look, I love the fella. He's given us great service. But if we're still starting James Milne at the age of 36 in 2021-22 season, then, you know, it means that we're short somewhere. I'm not here criticizing the team or the summer's planning, but I'm just saying, you know, it doesn't sit well with me. I think Jordan Henderson will start, Grizz. I think he'll start. I think he is fit. I think the minutes he got for England were, you know, he didn't get a great amount of minutes, but he was, you know, Southgate obviously thought he could play, so he played his part in England. He's come back. He went to Mallorca with Sturridge, trained with him, because I think Sturridge's at Mallorca now. Comes back, and he looked good. He looked good against Osasuna. It was also his second game, wasn't it, he played in? Yeah. It was a second game with Thiago, yeah. So he looked good against Osasuna. So I see Henderson starting, give him sort of the first 60, 70, and then maybe make a change. Because his energy levels, he's all year round, isn't he? He's like an athlete.
So
like,
let me get this right. Yeah. Abby, you've said Fabinho, Henderson, Naby. Naby.
Yeah.
Mo?
I mean, I agree the fact that Henderson may well be fit to start because he had pretty much recovered from the injury by the time the Euros had finished. It was just more rest. I'm a little bit more convinced by the talents of Milner than Avi. I think he can still do the job. And I think the idea of him starting the season isn't saying James Milner's our best central midfielder who will play 38 games. It's saying in the situation we're at right now, particularly if we have got a lack of experience behind him, then James Milner is the best person to play in this game. I think if Henderson doesn't play, then Milner definitely will. The question is, I think I can see a world where Milner and Harvey Elliott, for example, share 90 minutes. Mm. So one of them starts and
the other.
And again, that depends if you have got a Konate and Tsimikas, you've got a little bit of inexperience there. Milner starts, get everyone off to a good platform, get a good lead, and then Harvey comes on and does his magic. If you've got Virgil there and you're a little bit more secure in that defensive, you start Harvey, you give him that extra energy and excitement, and see what he does. If we get a lead, you bring on Milner, close it out. The other thing we didn't mention about Virgil as well, did you see the game against Osasuna, the ball he played in literally the first minute, where he had a 60-yard bomb?
Yeah, because that doesn't leave you.
I didn't see Mo Salah's face, but you know what he was saying? He was saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I'm telling you, the effect he has on our attack is underrated. And I think when we talk about the struggles of everybody else, again, like I said earlier, he's the linchpin from which so much starts. And having that extra dimension, and it's the ability to go direct with accuracy. And we say Alisson can do it, and he can do it. He hasn't been as consistent at doing it as maybe I would have hoped. Maybe I thought he would be when I saw him at Roma. But when Virgil's there, that threat is live. When Henderson's there, that threat is also live. He can do it too. So having them both there, I guarantee you, you'll be seeing runs with more purpose and intensity from the front guys. They're going to be drawing defenders with them, and that's where the space is going to be for the likes of Naby or potentially a Harvey Elliott. So If Virgil starts, expect goals for Liverpool.
What midfield did you end up with, Denmo?
I think it's going to be Fabinho, Naby Keita, and Milner to start.
Matt, thoughts on the midfield?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm going to be a bit boring here, but I think Mo got it spot on. I was thinking the same thing. Fabinho, Naby are definitely starters. And then I was thinking, is it going to be Harvey or Milner? Then I was like, he's going to go for experience and he'll probably bring on Elliot. So I'm going to say, yeah, Milner's the third person. I think he'll be those three. I don't think he brings back Henderson just yet. Doesn't need to. That's another thing as well. Our squad now, even though we've lost the Wijnaldum, we don't need to rush back Henderson because we even got Thiago as well. And if I'm not mistaken, I was reading something the other day, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, you can now name 9 subs, I believe.
Yeah, you can.
9, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to, we all know Henderson will at least be on the bench. So will Thiago. So will Ox. There's room for maneuverability now. So I reckon that'll be the 3, personally.
Okay.
Well, Are we sleeping on Ox, maybe? I was going to ask you this question.
That's very nice of you. That's very nice of you to ask me. Oh, sorry. You're asking Matt or me?
No, I'm asking you, actually, Grizz. But no, Matt can take it too, of course.
Do you know what? Mm. Yeah. With Ox, I don't know, man. Because again, that whole false 9 thing, I was like, what are we doing?
No, dash that.
I had to get it out. I was just like, what are we doing, bro?
Yeah, dash.
But anyway, in midfield, the way Klopp spoke about him says to me he's relying on him a lot more this season. And I think it's up to Ox to kind of prove himself. However, I don't think he starts the first game of the season. I think he'll have cameo roles. And in that time, if he impresses enough, then he might get that start where you're like, oh, Flip, Ox is starting. And if he has a good game, then we'll see more of him.
Do you know what? I've got a controversial take on the midfield. And it kind of goes back to Avi's point, which I'm probably guessing he's probably stolen it from our WhatsApp conversations. Because I was going to say, right, you know, James Milner. It's true. Again, another trooper. Probably one of the greatest free transfers, or you know what I mean. You know, when people say free transfer, it was a free agent at the time that we've ever had. And he's an absolute immense servant. But regardless of who we're playing and what we're doing, I think Jurgen Klopp's selection in central midfield will tell me a lot about where Jurgen is mentality-wise refreshed this season. And the reason why I say this is in seasons gone by, in terms of this, like in his first 2-3 seasons, I think he would have, the heavy more football, he would have gone Fabinho, Naby, Ox, because he likes the 2-8s to be very active, pressing-wise, forward and backwards. If Jurgen Klopp, I believe, and it's just an opinion, obviously, it's just my feeling, I've got this gut feeling, if he's totally refreshed and ready to attack the title, like he said last season, but obviously matters out of his control, didn't let him attack the title. If he's going to truly attack the title, I think he goes with an attacking midfield, which doesn't have James Milner in it. Bless him. Because James Milner can... Look, he could do a sturdy job and all that business. But it's going to be an indicator for me where Jurgen Klopp is as well, because we've spoken about the players and everything, but I think it's going to be a small indication. If he goes for the safety first option, which is James Milner, as we all say, along with Fabinho, and then an attacker like Naby, like Ox, like Elliot, yeah? Or if he goes gung-ho with 2 attacking 8s.
I do take your point. I do see what you mean in terms of a mentality shift. And sometimes at the start of the season, you do want to set your stall out with that way. I think, to be honest, an easier way to do that would be to do it in the next game. I think maybe if he'd have had Curtis Jones available for this game, then you might have seen him come into play because he can do that. Personally, again, I'm banging the Milner drum again. Like, we remember, he's still the fittest guy out there. He still won the lactate test again. Still... Yeah. Undefeated since he joined the club. And yes, he's not going to be able to do that pressing 8 position 38 games. He'll certainly be able to do it for the first game.
One thing to remember is, well, Daniel Farke, his style hasn't changed from the last time he was in the Premiership. So last season in the Championship, they played expansive football again, very similar to the season that they got relegated. And I don't think he will change tack this time either. So, you know, it could be where we do play cautious and hit him on the break, because they have got ball playing midfielders, Cantwell, the Billy Gilmores now, who will be sitting in and trying to dictate play from the middle. He'll probably try and put Slowless maybe in there or as a winger, but you might play him as a 10 for Norwich. I'm not sure if he will start because he is a new signing, but he has one to ponder because he does like playing expansive football for hockey.
Laura Duffy is just reminding me that I've missed Billy's super chat.
I've just texted him to put the first 11 on the chat and we'll read it out.
Billy, if you just want to put that as a normal chat, I'll look out for it and read it. I'm so sorry, man. You know me and trying to do 4 or 5 things at the same time, you know what I mean? But listen, going on to the forwards, I thought it was quite obvious what was going to happen again a couple of weeks ago. But then I don't want to influence anything, so I'm going to leave it to who shall we go to? Mo, go first. Like, what do you think happens with the forwards? Because I was thinking it's a straight Jota, Salah and Mo front three. What do you think?
Well, based on what I said earlier about Diogo Jota, that's what I would do. However, I think we're at the stage again where it's a good decision to have between Bobby and Jota. And whomever gets the job, I'm not going to be like, damn it. I think both of them can do a job. I think, again, it might be a situation where one comes on for the other. But I think... Again, thinking about setting the tone for the season, for the start of the season, Diogo Jota is going to want to be in that starting position. I think that he's probably done enough.
He's warranted it. No, Mo, he has. I think he has warranted a position in that front three now. I think he has. I think it's time to seize out maybe, you know, Bobby for a little while. I'm not saying that Bobby should be dropped altogether. I think there's games where we need Bobby. But
Definitely.
But the thing with Bobby is that we kind of all get fixated a little bit too much in what he's not doing. And the reason he's in the team is because of the things that he is still doing. And those things are the hardest things to replicate out of everything we do, in my opinion. To do the Bobby roll, we've seen so many people try and fail. It's like trying to run into the sun. You get too close, you just evaporate. But Jota has his own way of doing it. And I think the other thing with Jota that we've seen, I saw a little bit in pre-season, when he and Mane swap and he goes into the left forward position and Mane goes into the centre, they've got a little bit of an understanding there as well. So he's starting to build his own thing. He's starting to do his own things that is different to Bobby. He's starting to give a different option. So then it becomes, which of these two things do we most need for this opponent? I still think it's a coin toss, personally. I would go with Jota, but like I said, if it's Bobby, I'm behind it.
Okay, so this was the super chat that we missed from Billy. It says his team was Alisson, Trent, Matip, VVD, Costas, Ox, Fabinho, Keita, Salah, Bobby Mane. You know, let's keep an eye on that. Let's see how it goes. Matt, who are you doing up free, man? Who are you setting on Norwich, man? Like, go on, man. Who are you going to set on this Norwich back four?
It's got, for me, I think it's got to be obviously Mane and Salah. Obviously, first names are at the front three on that team sheet. And I think Mo's right. For me, it's got to be Jota. Another reason I'm saying Jota, not because I think Jota deserves it, I also feel like Jota might be that little bit fresher as well, because also I think he came back, didn't he, before?
Came back earlier.
In pre-season. Obviously, my man played in the Copa America. So I'm going to base it on, and I noticed as well, Pep Linders loves talking about Jota. He's our pressing monster, all this and that. And I kind of feel like they're really trying to build him up now to be like, this is your season. Go and take it, so to speak, but like, go and make a name for yourself, because we know you've got it in you to become, you know, as we say, maybe the Fab Four instead of the Fab Three or whatever. So I think for me, they start Jota and Firmino comes off the bench.
Avi, another interesting point from Zachary Egan. This is one, and you've mentioned this as well before, so that's why I want to bring this to you. One interesting thing is I don't think Jota has the condition, stamina to play the full 90. He looks great for the first 60 and runs out of gas. He's a better impact sub. Bobby just runs for days.
That is a good point. I've told you, I've said it before on the show, Grizz. One thing that I want from Jota, I think last season, a great debut season, and I think the Pep Linders bit that Matt alluded to was a point, because I think he was in Linders' academy team at Porto from the period of 2010 to 2014. I might be mistaken, but I know Linders did a stint at Porto, and then I think Jota was there as well. I don't think he runs out of gas. I just think for this season, what I want to see from Jota is become a more all-round complete player outside the box as well. Like, go and run with the ball. Go and do daring things. Go and just make an impact over the course of the 90. Doesn't necessarily mean you always have to get a goal, but go and improve your numbers in terms of assists as well. I think his all-round gameplay is what I'm looking for this season, Grizz. And look, I think he gets between 15 to 20 again, which would be another good season for him. I can see him starting. I did have a hot take though, Grizz. I've got a feeling, and it's just one of those feelings, Grizz, and you know I don't get them very often, maybe once every month. Actually, no, that's wrong terminology. Once every so often. But I think Taki might have made his way into the first 11. I think Taki might make his way.
Taki.
I think he might make his way into the first 11 somehow. I know. It's one of those ones. Listen, it's one of those ones, but I think he might.
Do you know what? This is why I got the brother on the show. Like, you know, people need to recognize, I've got him for this mad fuckery hot takes, It ain't happening, but if it happens once, like once at least 6 months, because it happened once, because he said
the whole world will know about it.
Because he said Naby's going to start against Real Madrid. And
no,
but it wasn't ITK stuff, Matt. It was just one of them ones he woke up
against Madrid, first leg,
And you know, it was like his pinned tweet for about 6 months, man, on the Twitter and everything. So, listen,
Naby, and that's quite the fact that performance went terribly wrong.
I know, that upset me, man.
Taki ain't starting. I think it's going to start Bobby. I genuinely do. I think it's going to start Bobby. I
understand that, you know.
I think Bobby's performance the other day got me smiling again. Not only the goals, but when Bobby comes back, because like Bobby, like Fabinho, like the Brazilian lads, I guess, know how to party. So when they come back from holidays, they're a little bit slow in terms of whatnot. But Fabinho looks sharp, and Bobby definitely looks sharp. And you can't, Bobby's the brains, man. I'm a massive Jota fan. I'm a massive Liverpool fan. I love them all, but I think Bobby, we talk about motivation, we talk about angry, we talk about competition. Bobby's at the forefront of that, bruv. He's messing with Mane, Salah, and Jota.
It's true.
So he's trying to reclaim, and you know, it goes up. It goes up in sort of levels in terms of their performance when they got that. But listen, Avi's Auntie Joshua has just put in a super chat. Picking up Avi, let's go, Team Tech. You know that's Avi's auntie. But listen, we've got 1 hour.
Just a quick one. If we're talking about momentum, right? If we're talking about momentum, has Taki not deserved that then? If we're talking about momentum,
no.
I would say he's not even a patch on the others.
Yeah,
he's had good moments. Like, and remember, moments. I wouldn't say he's had that long stretch where we've gone, oh my days, 5-6 games, that is looking tasty.
Thank you.
You know what? He showed signs of doing
of improvement.
What I'm going to do. I'm expecting him to come off the bench, and maybe before the last couple of preseason games, I wouldn't have said I'm expecting him to come off the bench. But what I am going to say, Avi, if you are right, and he does start, and he does score, then you've got to give the full-on Taki goatee.
I'll lend you some. I tell you what, I've got that Japanese sort of headband that George St. Pierre in the UFC used to wear. I'll wear that on my next show.
I'll wear that. Salman drops a little super chat for us. Thank you very much, brother. He says, Mane is getting 15-plus league goals. I don't think no one would argue. Mane looks hungry again. So we're going to do a quick prediction, guys, before we get onto the transfer snippets of the day and whatnot. Quick prediction, starting off with you, Matt. Talk to me.
I'm confident, man.
Your team.
No, I'm confident. Very, very confident. People might be surprised, but I'm going to say Liverpool win this game comfortably 4-1.
Wow. Okay.
I'm confident, man. Very confident.
Okay.
Same as the Anfield game back in 1920.
Yeah, very, very confident. I don't know what it is, but I'm just, I don't know, man. I don't know. I just feel good, man. Yeah, yeah. I feel good, bro. You know what I mean?
Mo?
I think the same. I think it's going to be one of those where maybe we don't blow them away straight away. Maybe it's 1-0 at half time. But I think it's probably going to be finished 2-3 by the end of the game. I don't think that they'll get a goal either. So it's going to be, in my eyes, 3 points, 3 goals, and lots of very happy people.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Listen, well, you know, I need a Liverpool win because I'm going to be one of those 3,000 Liverpool fans that are going to be at Norwich. It's an awkward trip from London, but it's going to be, hopefully it's going to be worthwhile. The weather's going to be nice. Avi, what's your prediction, man?
Liverpool 3-0. Liverpool 3-0. It's 3-0, man. We're coming back. Like we said, it's comeback tour, man. It's comeback tour.
Revenge season, bro.
Revenge season. Yeah. There you go. Even better, yeah.
Yeah, look. The main thing is we're back. Football's back. Liverpool's back. Centre back's back. Everything. It should be a great occasion, and we're looking forward to that season. We're just gonna talk about some bits that's come out in the social media circles and media whatnot with the transfer links. I think a name that's been doing a couple of days now has come up. Avi, I'll start with you, Jeremy Doku. What do you know about this player? What do you like about this player? What don't you like about this player?
He's an exciting player, Grizz. He's with the ball. You always think that he's going to do something. He's got a bag full of tricks. He's 19. Look, in a nutshell, I think he should stay at Rennes for another season. Put some numbers up because I think that's where he can improve in terms of assists and goals. But if we're really serious, I'll do a Naby style deal. Get it done now and then wait for him to come in next season. But he's definitely a talent.
Okay, just want to give a shout out to LFC Aaron. Thank you for the super chat. J Trippers, Anfield Rap, Coppish, all in one place. Hashtag Dream Team. Listen, we're going to be doing a lot of these, especially on Carnage. We're going to be doing a lot of collabs with my brothers. So we're going to be doing a lot of collaboration. So keep an eye on the channel. Keep an eye on their content. Obviously, you know, Mo's doing a lot of great work over at the Rap. And he's LFC? What's the exact?
Liverpool.com.
Liverpool.com. So you need to go check him out and represent him there as well. And we obviously know Matt from Coppish. So listen, don't worry about that. We're going to be doing a lot of collaborations this season. Mo, your opinions on Doku, and do you see any legs in this?
I do. I think that he's someone who has been, his name's come up enough times to make me think that he's on our long list, as I call it, as someone who we've been kind of keeping tabs on, because that's kind of the way we do things. And it's almost like it depends upon if the opportunities are right in terms of circumstances around contract finances, or whether they think he's ready, or whether they think that there's a place for him that wouldn't get in the way of anybody else. So these are all the things that we all decide when we're looking at the long list and thinking, okay, maybe he's not ready yet. Okay, maybe he is ready. I would like to see him play another full season of starting every week, and that's what Rennes can give him. One issue with Rennes, I'm not sure if they're in Europe this season. I think they finished out of the European places, so he's not going to be able to maybe test himself at as high a level. Obviously, the idea of him coming in and loaning out is an option, but you know, I'm still not convinced by that. Like, I still really think that it messes with players' heads. Like, let's look at the last two players who we did that for, Divock Origi and Naby Keita. That season where we signed them, but they weren't in Liverpool, they were terrible. Both of them were terrible. Like,
very good point,
Divock Origi is one of the worst players in the league. Meanwhile, Naby Keita got sent off, what was it, five times?
Five times in that season, yeah.
Yeah, came, yeah, five times.
How are you feeling about this?
Can't tell me that that's not because in their head they're like, why am I still here? Why am I not over there? Like, everything the coach is telling you is just like, I don't
know. No, I don't sink in.
Yeah, and it's like, the same.
There's no way that as human beings we can say that that wouldn't affect you. Like, it would affect you 100%. And so I think just the nature of that as an idea is tricky. But if we do end up buying him, then that will mean because Klopp thinks he's now ready and he's now able to accept the role that will be there for him. Because we just spent 10 minutes trying to decide which of our four forwards we're going to leave out. By the way, don't rule out the fact that we might be leaving out none of them at some point this season. So you think whoever we do buy, yes, we do need another one. We know that injuries happen. We know that it's better to have five quality attackers who can come on and change your game. But it needs to be someone in that sweet spot who are ready enough to come in and be good, but not that big that they're going to be sitting around waiting and wondering what's going on and why they're not, and potentially causing a problem. So all of these things have to be in a row before they hit go on the transfer. And I'm not convinced that they're all in a row with Doku.
Ren are in the Conference League. Laura Duffy confirmed it.
Oh, are they?
The on. Yeah, they're on the Conference League.
I'm looking forward to that, by the way. Like, I have no idea what that's going to be like.
Matt, how are you feeling with Doku? You rate him? You want him?
Do you know what? I think he's a talent. But I also feel like he's still very, very raw. He's far from the complete package. And that's not a bad thing. The only problem is, though, is this, though. The type of money that we're seeing, are we going to spend that amount of money for a development player who, if he was to come in now, I don't think he does what Jota does. I don't think he does, believe it or not, like what a fully fit Shaqiri could do if Shaqiri was fit, because I still feel like he's got a lot more to learn his trade. If you look at his numbers from last season at Rennes, they weren't the greatest.
Yep.
Again, I agree with you guys. I think he needs one more year, maybe. But if we are going to get him, the fee's got to be low. And not only that, if say some of our attackers were injured, would we really be sitting there happy as Doku playing against, for example, Man United or Man City, where you kind of know that you're not going to maybe get loads of chances, and his final ball, from what I've seen, needs a little bit more work. And dare I say it, some people might not like it. Do you know what he reminds me of? A little bit of Adama Traore, you know? A little bit. He's got more potential, though, because he's 19, but the same playing style. He relies on that explosive like pace to get away from you. It's all about explosive pace. He's got good feet, obviously, but it just makes me feel like, is he the right guy? I don't know.
2 in 37 last season with 3 assists. So yeah, Matt's spot on. The numbers are great. No, that's why this season.
I saved the best nugget till the end. I don't think Doku. I don't think Doku will be turning up at Liverpool for the reasons where I think Mo described it the best. You know, in terms of there's so many ticks that we look for, like criteria. He's got to tick that. He's got to tick that. He's tick that. So, but I like the player. I think he's got huge potential as well. I just don't think, guys, that I don't think he's ready to. I get the development side of things, but I think we're at a level where we all said we want a player that can come in. I think Mo said it as well. Mo, you made too many good points today, man. I think Mo spoke about in terms of
what you're listening to. That's all it is.
We want a player. We want a player that won't ruffle the feathers.
Yeah,
but will have enough confidence to step in and say, like Jota, like, you know, I can put up numbers like you, man's, and I can handle my business and everything. We've got a very firm interest in the Harvey Barnes of Leicester City, folks. And for me, I think he is one of the best prototype of Klopp type forwards you can see around. I think the guy has potential. Correct me if I'm wrong, lads. He's about
23.
The right age. The price will be obviously hefty after the season, because we asked about him last summer, before he went on to get 16 goals and numerous assists. So, yes, our scouts are still deadly, because we scouted him before he broke out. So we're still bad boys in the scouting department. It's a difficult deal, of course. Leicester City are not obliged to sell these days. They're a very rich club, very well-run club. But I think it's something to keep an eye on, from what I've been told, that Harvey Barnes is one we're very, very much interested in. But lads, I promised Matt, I know he wasn't well, I promised him 1 hour. I've gone 12 minutes over. Man's going to invoice me and I'm going to just try ignore it, like not read.
I'm not going to get no blue tips.
Cryptocurrency like Messi.
Well, listen, we'll take crypto, Grizz. We'll take crypto right now.
Listen, you know how it is, man. When you start chatting football and the excitement.
Come on now.
We're going to go over 10 minutes, exactly.
Of course, I can barely speak. As you can hear, my voice is literally gone, as you lot can hear. But listen, I'm still here, bro. Still here.
Brother, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
Pleasure,
and as
man,
I said,
trust me.
We're gonna do this again in a regular. Mo's like almost a regular
Definitely.
Part of the furniture, man, as well. Mo, again, I know you're a busy man, but thank you very much for coming on tonight.
This isn't work. This is fun. This is what I would be doing normally.
Bless up. Bless up. That's amazing to hear. And of course, Mr. Hot Take himself, we look out for Tacky to start. We look out for, Tacky to start. That's his big call for the day, right? Any big calls before we go?
Good thing I'm out next week on holiday. But it's a great show. It's been a good show. I'll save the flack for the week after.
Oh, you clever boy. He's out next week. I just remembered. But listen, guys, we've tried to keep. Oh, we've got another shout before we go. Before Avi starts getting ready for the closing. Okay, Neil H says, thank you for the tubes. At Bissouma and Bowen would be sound. Look. There's so many names that have been floating around, you know, with connected to Liverpool. A lot of them obviously coming from the agents because they know we haven't bought anyone. And when a big team hasn't bought anyone, they try to rally in the big clubs and we're as big as they come, man. But I'm very confident. People have been saying, oh, Grizz, you was confident of people coming in. I still am. I'm very confident. I'm just telling you, like, relax. Everything's going to be fine. And look, again, just very quickly, we spoke about our squad and we look at the way we decided and we couldn't work out. None of our teams had Thiago, Henderson, Curtis Jones, Gomez, Konate. None of look, these are and Robertson injured. I've just named you 6-7 players that walk into every Premier League team. So listen, we're calm, we're good. We just need a bit of luck. You know, if you believe in a God, pray that everyone stays injury free. Fans back in the stadium, you know, personal tragedy. Massive. Stay away from us, please. Personal tragedy, stay away from us, and we're gonna be cooking, man. I think. Listen, guys, it's been a fantastic show. Bring on Norwich, bring on Carnage next week. I hope to see you all soon. Thank you very much. Like and subscribe on your way out. All that good stuff. We hope to see you real soon, people.
Sports Social Podcast Network.